Skip the ramen noodles. Don't even think about a frozen pizza. It's time to find out where you'll enjoy some drinks and dinner tonight.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
On KNST.
Good afternoon, everybody, to On the Menu Live. You're listening to KNST 790 in Tucson. This is Jim Cedar from the Wine Enquirer sitting in for Matt Russell, sitting in the king's chair currently. Another gorgeous afternoon here, as usual. Low 80s, sunny, not a cloud in the sky, beautiful afternoon. So we have a great and chock-filled show today. My co-host is one of my great professional friends, Rick Paz from the Tucson Flemings. We're going to be speaking about the new ventures and new items going on there and a great new piece of techie equipment that they have that I affectionately sort of say is a blend of both apple and wine, but it's not what you're thinking of. And it's a really great, interesting device. So, Rick Paz, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jim. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. You know, I'm always so impressed just by the setup there at Fleming's in terms. It's what I call stealth service. The lights are low. You kind of, the service people come in, they speak with you, give you what you need. Then they kind of quietly recede as if they were never there. Suddenly the drinks appear, the food appears. It's just a phenomenal setting there with such amazing professionalism, elegance, service. I don't know how the system does it, but between you and Barty Confrey, the operating partner there, and Ethan Schultz, the chef partner, you guys just do a phenomenal job.
You are too kind, my friend, and I couldn't agree enough. True service should be seamless at all times.
Well, and I'm expecting this will give me a discount for my next meal, correct?
I think you may have just gotten yourself a free meal with that beautiful intro.
Well, in that case, every time's a charm. Hey, listen, you guys have some new ventures, some interesting new things going on. But first of all, I want to talk to you about your new venture up in Las Vegas. But,
yes, sir.
You know, I know that you do have a Fleming's up there, but it's sort of on the periphery. But you guys are going central, and it sounds like it's going to be a tremendous operation.
It is. We are very, very excited this year to be opening a new Fleming's in Vegas. It will be the 66th restaurant in our restaurant chain. And it's going to be right on the strip in a beautiful area, huge building, and we couldn't be more excited. Vegas is the place. It is the destination for fine food. And for us, it's another opportunity to really wow people with guest indulgence, world-class food, and everything we like to do so well.
Now, is there a deadline for the opening? You have a date yet?
You know, we're tentatively looking at November 1st, but you know, those things always wiggle around. Whenever you're opening a new business, it can be a trying process, and you have to be able to be fluid with any possibility.
Well, speaking of trying, I understand that you're going to be intimately involved in getting the operations up to snuff there. Is that right?
I will be there for a very long time, so I look forward to being in Vegas. Got a lot of great friends there. It's a wonderful city. It'll be an awesome opportunity to launch a new thing and probably be there for about 3 weeks to a month out there. Enjoy myself immensely.
Well, I'll be looking forward to hopping over there on our next trip up there because it's only an hour flight from Tucson. It's an easy to access destination. So I'm really looking forward to it. I want to get to this new techie toy that you have for wine and food lovers. And I'll tell listeners, I had the opportunity to play around with this here in Tucson the other day. I understand it's out nationally, but it's kind of a blend of sort of an iPad for Fleming's in a way. And in fact, it is a joint venture, is it not, between yourself and Apple? So I just don't want think people to think that you're going to be serving Apple wine in the future. but this is a fabulous device for people that are a little uncertain where to go in terms of wine and food pairing. This is going to be absolutely a godsend for you.
Yeah, you know, we couldn't be more excited about it. It's something that's been in development over the past 3 years. It's taken us a tremendous investment of time, money and effort to create this beautiful platform for food and wine pairing and to kind of take all the intimidation factor out of wine. That's something Fleming's has always been about. You know, most restaurants you go to, you'll have 5, 10, 15 wines by the glass. We have 100, and that's something we pride ourselves on. Not only locally, we always have different alternatives, but also nationally we do some amazing things. So this wine pad is something that we developed as part of our website, and that's the most amazing part of it. A lot of things you'll see associated with Apple products. And this is put onto an iPad. It is our normal menu format, so it's got Thomas Arvoet artwork. It's absolutely beautiful. It's easy to navigate. You've got all our entire menu in there, so everything's available for food pairing, wine descriptions, varietal, vintages, price points, anything you'd be interested in knowing. You're able to email yourself information about wines, tell your friends where you're at so they can come join you. There's a myriad of features in there. And the whole concept of what we're about is being the epicenter of Wine Gym. We love it, and we're so excited to launch this new thing. And that's one of the things I get to do is travel around and talk to all these amazing people regionally and try to get this going. And the excitement and energy behind this has been boundless.
Okay, give me an example, Rick. I come into Fleming's. I want to order, say, a peppercorn-crusted filet mignon. I want a wine with it, but I just don't know where to go. So one of the servers comes up, hands me this device?
Absolutely. In fact, it's given to you with your menu when you're seated. So it's not something we're worried about having a small quantity. We've got 40 of them currently in our restaurant. So every guest that sits down, you are given one with your menu. It's just like a drink menu or a wine list. And it's our version of something that's fully interactive. You can go onto the actual perfect pairings function, pull up whatever steak you're interested in, and it'll show you immediate pairings for that that have already been pre-selected by our wine director, whose name is Maeve, and she's absolutely phenomenal. She does an amazing job with it. She puts everything together in a way that's comprehensive and intelligent. And if you want to learn more about the wine, you're able to click on those individual wines and actually get a description with tasting notes and even more specifics.
So it can really go down to, you know, the grapes, the aromatics, the flavors, sort of really describe it for somebody.
It really describes it. And like I said, we want people to enjoy themselves. The whole point of Fleming's is you come in there, you should not be intimidated or be uncomfortable for any reason when selecting a wine. How many times have we all gone into a restaurant and wanted a beautiful glass or a bottle of Italian or French wine, but we had absolutely no idea how to pronounce it? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. We've relieved that problem for you. Now you can just point at it and say, I would like that. You may not know how to say Chateau Lafite Rothschild. Heck, I just learned it yesterday.
Well, that sounds like a marvelous. Have you gotten any feedback yet from people? Just either way, fun, challenging. What have you found?
We found that about 97% of our guests want to play with this. They want to have it in their hands. They're excited about it. And it's for all different age groups. You know, you'd be amazed. We always thought, what is the demographic that's going to be most attracted to this? And it's every demographic. It's kids. It's parents. One of the greatest things we had was a kid came into the restaurant with her mom, and she said, hey, do you want that wine with a duck on it? Absolutely, you can have that duck horn Cabernet Sauvignon. We'd love you to have that wine with a duck on it. Whatever pulls you into it. So it's a great opportunity.
You know, it's really interesting you brought that. We were eating at a local informal restaurant last night, and next to us were three young adults who are going to be taking their law boards coming up in July. And my wife, Rosalie, happened to overhear them talking about grapes. And one of the girls was saying that she wishes that she could learn more about it and understand, you know, that the differences between them. And then the gentleman across from her saying he had been in Bordeaux recently. So, I mean, my wife's antennas were just glowing yellow. Mm-hmm. And she looks at me and says, give me a few of your business cards quickly. And I said, what do you want? Now, she was listening to this while I'm stuffing my face full of Mexican food. And I'm saying, what are you going to do? Give me your cards. I went, so the short and the long of it, though, is I could picture these people coming into Fleming's and saying, I know a little bit and I've visited one or two places, but I just don't know that much about it. I want to order this dish. What do I do with the wine? And I can just picture them handing this device to them and saying, you know, here's your answer. Here's a great first step education in a restaurant right in your hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much fun. You can play spin the bottle. There are so many different ways that you don't even have to think about wine that we'll do it for
you. This is not the traditional, the old-fashioned, like the Beatles 1960s Rolling Stones, right?
That's probably not what you remember with the spin the bottle. Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Before we go to break here, just tell me briefly, you have a small plates menu that was put on there maybe, a year and a half ago. Love the idea for people to come in and say, I don't want to eat a huge meal, but I just want enough to kind of keep me full and enjoy the flavor. How is that going?
It's going exceptionally well. It's a great option for people that have more conservative appetites and want something a little smaller and not maybe that huge porterhouse or bone and ribeye.
Right.
It's absolutely fabulous.
So it's working out well. Okay, listen, we're going to head to a break. On the other side of the break, we're going to have Sean Campbell from the Tucson Symphony Orchestra speaking to us about a great, great event coming up that everybody should attend. We'll see you on the other side. This is KNST 790 AM.
How's it going, Tucson, Jeff? Thanks for listening. On the Menu Live, my buddy Matt Love.
Hello, Tucsonans. We're back here, KNST 790 AM in Tucson. This is Jim Cedar from the Wine Enquirer with my co-host Rick Paz from the Tucson Flemings. And we have on the line right now a very special guest, Sean Campbell from the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, who is going to share with us a great event coming up on April 14th. It's the Tucson Symphony Orchestra Movable Music Feast. Sean, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful.
Good, good. Excellent. Listen, tell me a bit about this fantastic event that just seems to blend the best of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra with fantastic cuisine, going to be held at the Tucson Museum of Art, from what I understand?
Yes, that's right. This is part of a series that we have called the Movable Musical Feast, and we're calling this particular one really a feast for the senses, because we always combine great food and great music from Tucson Symphony Orchestra musicians with really special, iconic Southern Arizona locations. But this time, April 14th, because we're at the Tucson Museum of Art, we also get to include visual art. And so you really have a close-up experience with several art forms all in one evening.
Tell me a little bit about the history of this event. For how long has this been ongoing, Sean?
You know, I can't even count. We've probably been doing the series for about 15 to 18 years.
Wow.
We pick different special locations every year, and they have some similarities and some differences. So let me tell you a little bit about what's going to be so great about this one.
Absolutely. Go ahead. Love to hear it.
When guests arrive, they get their choice of red or white wine and some hors d'oeuvres while they have a chance to just mix and mingle and look in the museum shop at some of the great artwork available there. And just two of the hors d'oeuvres that are going to be served that evening are baby tricolored peppers stuffed with chicken and chorizo. And then for something a little different, wild mushroom pastry pockets with goat cheese.
You know, you really shouldn't be sharing this with people that are hungry.
No, but see, this is the perfect time. It's almost dinner time. And so we want to, you know, get the idea going here.
Almost doesn't count in my kitchen nor in my stomach.
Well, we can take care of that on April 14th.
I can't wait that long, but I'll do my best. Go ahead.
So after hors d'oeuvres and a glass of wine, we step into the art museum for the first small concert, and this will be performed by the Tucson Symphony Violin, Cello, and Piano Trio. And what is really special about these concerts at the Movable Feast is that you're just feet from these world-class musicians. You get to hear them breathe. You get to see how they play and how they're exchanging looks while they're making their music. And it really becomes kind of, you're almost in the middle of it. And then what's special about being at the art museum is that while you're listening to the music of these musicians, you also get to just take some time that you don't usually get to take to gaze at one painting or one photograph, really take it in along with the music at the same time.
How long is this entire event? I know it starts at 5:30 and goes until...
Well, it's maybe 3 hours, because what you get are these hors d'oeuvres and then two short concerts. You get a multi-course meal and then, of course, a chance to see the artwork that's at the museum. So after that first concert of the Piano Trio, then we head back into the lobby for a delicious meal prepared by our friends at Carte Blanche Catering. And it starts out with a baby heirloom lettuces with a roasted pear filled with goat cheese and wrapped with prosciutto and then drizzled with a lemon olive oil vinaigrette. And then for the entree, we have a duet. And it's just the classic grilled fillet of salmon with capers and basil and baby teardrop tomatoes with a lemon beurre blanc and a beef tenderloin stuffed with Bourzon cheese and a port wine demi-glace. And then there's a nice sweet corn and basil risotto on the side, as well as the freshest grilled vegetables of the day.
You know, it just sounds like such an elegant meal and such a peaceful and refined evening. Per person, the pricing, I understand, is $135. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And that includes everything from beginning to the end, because this is really, imagine that you were putting together an evening of a great meal, a visit to the art museum, and two fantastic concerts. We're taking care of all of that for you. You just purchased the ticket. Everything else is taken care of. After dinner, you head back into the museum to a different part of the museum. You're seeing different artwork, and now you hear the brass quintet perform. And I have to say one thing about performing in the Tucson Museum of Art. The sound is great for our kind of instruments and our kind of music. The acoustics are beautiful, and the brass quintet is going to sound rich and glorious in that space. So you'll be surrounded by the sound as well as surrounded by the visual art.
Sean, the event starts at 5:30, April 14th. It's at the Tucson Museum of Art. It's $135 per person, and this just sounds like it's going to be a magnificent event. Is this considered anything tax deductible in the way, a donation toward the TSO, or no?
It is not tax deductible, but it is certainly beneficial to the symphony when people purchase tickets.
Of course,
of course. But if you just think about it, it's the ticket is covering all of those fantastic things all rolled into one, and as I said, we've done the work for you.
And if people are interested in picking up tickets, I know I have the box office number here, which is 882-8585. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. They can also purchase via the website as well, I would assume?
That's right, online at www.tucsonsymphony.org.
Okay, that's wonderful. Excellent. Well, listen, Sean, thank you so much for sharing this with us today. This should be a great event. I hope you have a tremendously a positive response to this and a huge crowd. This time of year, the weather is beautiful for this, and so we'll just hope for a great evening for you.
It's going to be lovely. We hope people choose to come.
Okay, excellent. Sean, thanks again. Good luck with everything. We'll speak with you soon.
Thanks very much.
You bet. Have a great weekend.
You as well.
Boy, Rick, that just sounds delicious.
It sounded to me like the most immersive experience you could possibly have. I mean, talk about stimulating all of your senses at once. You know, you got visual, audio, food. I can't imagine a better way to spend your day. I'm sure my wife's listening right now, and she's looking forward to me getting a couple tickets for that.
Well, you know, you close your eyes, you drift away, your palate is satisfied, your stomach is satisfied, you hear this gorgeous, melodic music. I mean, probably a beautiful, evening at that time of year, of temperature maybe 75, 80 degrees, 85. I mean, absolutely ideal. So,
I just hope they have a car service that will also take me home afterwards.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, again, it's the Tucson Symphony Orchestra Movable Music Feast. It's April 14th, a Sunday, at 5:30 p.m. at the Tucson Museum of Art, $135 a person. And you can access tickets either through the website or 882-8585. Joining us now as we head into the end of this first half an hour is one of my favorite Southeast Arizona wine vintners, producing just incredibly outstanding, pure, really terroir-driven both reds and whites. We have on the line Keith Manning from Keith Joshua Vineyards, who's going to speak with us for a couple of minutes, not only about his wines and releases, but talk a little bit about what they can now call their second annual Southeast Arizona Wine Growers and Music Festival, because they've had one. So now it can be an annual.
Woohoo!
Keith, how are you?
Good. How are you doing? Good to hear from you, Jim.
Andre, great to hear from you, too. But listen, Keith, talk to me a little bit about this upcoming festival. You know, we didn't have the opportunity to make it last year. We're going to make it this year. It just sounds like it took off rolling and never stopped. And it sounds like you guys are on for, on target for another tremendous event.
Yeah, we hope so. I think it's the second largest local wine event in the state now, next to the Festival of the Farm up in Phoenix in November.
Wow.
We're going to have about 18 or 19 local wineries, representatives from all across the state. We're going to have some live music, some food vendors. We're doing a professional chili cook-off on Saturday for charity. It's a good time. Weather's beautiful this time of year. We're 5,000 feet up, so it's a lot cooler than Tucson and Phoenix, and nice to get away from the city.
Well, here we go, Rick. You know, another wine, music, food event to visit.
Seriously, I'm trying not to salivate here, but it's not working so far.
Hey, Keith, you just mentioned that the chili cook-off is philanthropic. What are the targets for the funds raised from that?
100% of the proceeds are going to the Southern Arizona Food Bank.
How wonderful! That's just fantastic. Really wonderful. So this is a 2-day event, and what are the times of the event, Keith?
It's going to be April 20th and 21st, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days.
Okay, and the cost of tickets?
It's $16 a person to get in. Gets you wine tastings, a souvenir wine glass with the Southeast Arizona Wine Festival on it, and live music. And
now, does that cover both days, or is $16 per day, Keith?
Just per day.
Okay, gotcha. And you're expecting how many people again?
I think last year we got pretty close to 1,800 people.
Wow,
that's just phenomenal. You know what? I mean, are your parents going nuts with this last minute organization of this?
You know, it's crunch time, but it's not that bad. It's what we do every day. It's just larger.
That's awesome.
We're definitely trying to wrap up the loose ends here in the next couple of weeks.
Now, is this going to be held in the back of the estate by the vineyards?
Yeah, we're going to have all the wineries out back. We'll have live music on the patio, and then everybody will be set up in tents in back. It's a really nice event.
That's absolutely superb. That's wonderful. Listen, I was down there tasting, Rick, with Keith about month and a half ago, really impressed by what he's doing with reds and whites. And every so often, Keith will actually share with me kind of a renegade wine that you know, he's not going to release, but just kind of a trial. And even those are just fantastic. So, I mean, he's just kind of firing on all cylinders. It just seems, Keith, as if you tend to run out of wines pretty rapidly from one vintage to the next.
Yeah, we sell out every year. I think, actually, at the end of this last year, when I went to do my taxes, I had 28 cases left.
Wait, you mean you pay taxes?
Yeah, unfortunately, I pay taxes to everybody.
But it seems that way. Hey, listen, talk to me about any of your recent releases and what wine lovers here can expect for upcoming releases.
My last three releases, we just released a Viognier Chardonnay blend, which is a very light, crisp, very floral, aromatic white. Great summer wine, since we're heading back there.
I love the Viognier grape. It just brings such personality and spice to a wine.
It's one of my favorite white varietals. It's always something different and really malleable.
Now, what's the balance between Viognier and Chard?
It's 80% Viognier and 20% Chard.
Oh, my God, I'm there.
Viognier heavy.
Wow. I'm there. Now that's released now, correct?
Yeah, it's called Cephas. It's named after my grandfather.
Yep. Okay, you know something? We purchased some of that from you about a month ago. It's light, but it has great personality to it. And the Chardonnay just brings a little bit of that buttery roundness at the end.
Yeah. Fills it out a little bit.
Right.
Now, does that see any oak at all, Keith?
That one did not, no.
That's beautiful.
Completely done in stainless steel. So it's nice, crisp, light, fresh, fruity white.
And what else do you have that's come out or coming out?
We just released 100% Cabernet Franc, nice full-bodied red, really popular here.
You know what? I don't know anybody else that's producing a Cabernet Franc in the area.
We usually do 100% Cab Franc every year. It's one of our best sellers, and I think it does really well.
But I don't think what I'm saying. I don't think anybody else in the region does that, do they?
Not that I know of. No.
How fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know of anybody that grows it at all, actually, other than us.
You know, Keith, last time I was there, I had the opportunity of tasting with just you. My wife and I were out there for a day, and it was a quiet day. You were saying that you have about 30 different varietals you're currently growing?
No. Like 13.
Oh, 13.
Yeah, well, he got one of the numbers right.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you spend a day driving around drinking in Sonoma.
No comment.
You flip the 13 to 30.
That's funny. So you got that one. We've got about a minute left. Any other new releases upcoming, Keith?
We just released our new Magdalena, which is one of our best sellers. It's a blend of Barbera and Cabernet Franc, named after my grandmother.
That's a great wine. That's always a great stable there.
Yeah,
I love
everybody loves that one. Nice, easy drinking red.
Yep.
I also got I'll have 100% Syrah and 100% Sangiovese coming out probably in the next few months.
Oh, how fantastic.
And
how wonderful.
Probably some getting on some whites, too. We got a Riesling coming out soon, another Chardonnay, 100% Chard will be out soon.
You know, you have three people sitting in the studio here with these sappy smiles on our face saying, you know, when can we get a hold of this? So, hey, listen, Keith, we'll see you down there during that weekend. It sounds like it's going to be a blowout event, and hopefully every bit as successful as last year. We look forward to picking up some of your wines there, tasting some of the new releases, and having some great food as well. So congratulations on all fronts, and we'll see you down there.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
See you soon.
Thanks, Keith. Have a great day.
Oh, man, wonderful stuff. All right, listen, we're going to cut to the news here on the half an hour. This is Jim Cedar sitting in for Matt Russell, KNST 790 AM. We'll see you on the other side.
Spice up your Saturday night. He'll tell you where to have fun tonight. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
Hello, Tucsonans. We're back again on the back end of the half an hour here. This is Jim Cedar sitting in for Matt Russell, KNST 790 AM today with my co-host Rick Paz from Tucson Fleming's. This next 20 minutes is just going to be a wild ball. I'm really looking forward to this. As some of you may or may not know, the Wine Enquirer expanded into spirits last year, and we started off our interview series with Casa Herradura. I love rolling my R's that way. It's so wonderful. Casa Herradura is actually owned by the Brown-Forman conglomerate, and along with the director from Brown-Forman, Ruben Aceves, we did a bunch of interviews, and eventually Ruben turned me on to what he calls affectionately the chief entertainment officer of Brown-Forman. I said to Ruben, what's a chief entertainment officer? Well, he connected me on with Tim Laird, and after connecting with Tim, speaking with him for a bit, I absolutely understood why they gave him the nickname the chief entertainment officer. He has 20 years of entertaining in the food and spirits industry, gourmet chef background. He's been on the Today Show, the CBS Early Show, the Tonight Show, the Noon Show, the Early Show, the Late. I mean, you get it. He's been on all the different shows. He's been on shows in the state of Kentucky, in his home state. He writes for magazines. And fortunately for us at the Wine Enquirer, he has agreed to begin contributing. I'll get that word out sooner or later. This year, involving seasonality, holiday sort of cocktails, and how to cook with a variety of spirits in wine. And he's going to be joining us down in tequila country outside of Guadalajara in June as we do a filming series with Tim, Ruben, and the whole team. So with that behind you, Ruben, you sound like you're the CEO of a major corporation. How are you?
Good. This is Tim Laird here, and glad to join you guys. Everything, I'll tell you, I think you summed it up pretty good. It is all about entertaining and having fun. And Jim, I'll tell you what, I'm excited to be part of the Wine Enquirer to add some fun, entertaining pieces to that.
You know, I have a question to ask you. Have you always been such an entertaining monster?
You know, it started out at a young age. I just enjoyed it. I watched my parents entertain. I thought, this could be fun. And so, again, just started getting into the swing of things. And then when people would come over, they go, gosh, you know, I would love to entertain, but I'm just, they're intimidated with it, or I'm afraid to do it. So I said, no, it's easy. It's all about having fun. Don't be intimidated. When people come over, it's just about having fun with family, friends, and your guests getting together. You know, they're not going to sit there and criticize your food and drink. And what I found out, the more you entertain, the easier it gets and the more fun it gets. So it really, it's one of those things that we talk about and give some tips and ideas and really have fun. Because the key is you should have just as much fun at your party as your guests. And that's the ultimate goal. And that's the tips that we offer everybody, too.
Is it okay, Tim, if I have more fun than my guests?
Absolutely. Then they're really doing it right.
That could be the goal.
Yeah, actually,
now you've overachieved. That's the way to do it.
Actually, Rick Posma, the co-host from Fleming's here, said that actually that should be your goal, to have more fun. Hey,
exactly, Rick. Hey, you know, I agree with Rick and both you.
Hey, listen, to go one step further, you have a book out, and it's called, surprisingly enough, or maybe not so much so, That's Entertaining. And it just looks like a phenomenal book. I haven't gone through it yet, but I've read excerpts from it in terms of, you know, menu and cocktail holiday themes, how to prepare. And I love it that it takes you just all the way from going to the grocery store all the way through putting this together.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And again, that was our goal too, is I looked at different cookbooks, and then I looked at different cocktail books, and I thought, gosh, we need to put these two things together and come up with an entertaining book And that's why we came up with That's Entertaining with America's CEO, Chief Entertaining Officer. And it really is nicely laid out because there are a couple things. Every time I read a cookbook and I saw a recipe, I wanted to see what that looks like. I mean, give me an idea of what I'm shooting for if I put this recipe together or how to present it. So one of the things we did was we have an image of every single recipe in the book. And then we have show what the whole party looks like. And then the fun thing, too, is at the end there's a shopping list and then a timeline, because I think that's the fun part. Let's say if you're doing a brunch, so to speak, you want to do as much ahead of time as possible. So we have things you can do a week out, 3 days out, 2 days before your party, day of, and all the way up to party time, so to speak. So you have a little checklist to get you in order, and that really makes things easy for you. And it really is. Each chapter is divided into each a different entertaining occasion. Like you said, there's brunch. And, of course, coming up, there's a derby party, which is becoming very popular now. So and it's just fun that way.
Since we're on the topic of the book, just tell me, for people who want to find the book That's Entertaining, where do they go to purchase it?
The easiest place is just go to Amazon. I mean, they have it, and it's and you usually get a good rate and a lot of times free shipping. So Amazon.com is a great place to go. You can go to our publisher, which is ButlerBooks.com. But I think the easiest thing to do is Amazon. It's there. We were in a lot of border store. Unfortunately, the problem with a lot of these bookstores, they're closing down. But again, online is the real easy way to get it, and it's a lot of fun. It's a beautiful book. It's nice thick pages, great pictures. We were lucky. We write for a food and dining magazine, and the photographer that does the photographer of that is incredible. Dan Dry was with National Geographic. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner, so we were happy to have him take all the images. And one thing about it is every recipe that's in there is easy. That's the other thing we wanted. And it's all about ease and having fun. So you're not going to find these long listed ingredients and everything else. And it's just all about having fun.
Well, I noticed that on the description of your book, it stated that you have over 50 parties a year. Are those all at your home? Is your wife there for all of them? Does she know you do this?
Yeah, how do we get invited?
Well, that was my next question I have here. I'm still waiting for my invitation, Tim.
Anytime, and that's usually how these parties start. People just come over naturally for whatever. And, oh, my gosh, I definitely need my wife, Lori, there. And she was I couldn't have done
I'll bet you do.
Any of these other projects without her. So she's definitely part of that. And I do have to admit, though, we've kind of cut down on the number a little bit because of traveling, but it just happens that we love to entertain, and it happens spontaneously a lot of times, too.
Well, if you invite people like us, we can bring it back up to 50 a year with no trouble.
That's a goal. We're going for it. That's going to be one of the objectives for this year. Let's go.
I mean, if we have to create...
Real, we're going to get you up here. We're going to have some fun.
You know, we're going to create a few new holidays. I mean, any excuse to have wine and spirits, I mean, we'll find something.
That's CEO Day, I think.
Right, yeah, there you go. That's right. Chief Entertainment Officer Day. I mean, we can create any sort of day. Red Day, White Day, Rosé Day.
That's exactly right. And that's what partying is all about. And having fun and entertaining is bringing in the food, the beverages, and the friends. And really, that's all you need. I mean, it just happens. So we even like to do impromptu things like pizza on the grill. That's a lot of fun as well.
I'm a huge fan of that, Tim. I got a pizza stone. I'm all over it. I'm there with you, buddy.
That's great.
Oh, isn't that great? Oh, here's a tip with that. Here's one of the entertaining tips. Since you have a pizza stone at home is invite a bunch of people, but have assigned toppings to each one of your friends. And if it works out right, you don't have to provide anything but maybe the dough in the oven, and then you're set. So, or on the grill.
I love it. Bring your own topping party. There you go.
BYOT.
Beverages, assign the
toppings.
There you go. And then guess what? All you have to do is facilitate the place, and you do nothing. That's the key.
That sounds great. Hey, Tim, listen, in about a month, we have Cinco de Mayo coming up. Certainly a massive holiday here in the Southwest, but I think really, throughout much of the country. Tell me a little bit, for somebody who is interested in putting together a Cinco de Mayo party celebration that includes tequila, whether it be the cocktails, cooking with tequila, where do they start?
Well, here's the thing, and you're right. all over. People are really getting into the holiday, and it goes back to what both you and Rick said, that you know what? People are looking for any excuse to have a party, and why not Cinco de Mayo, bring some tequila into it, and have fun. And one of the things, and in fact, what I'm excited about, too, with the Wine Enquirer is that we're going to have some great food recipes that are very simple, easy to do, and some cocktail recipes, even recipes beyond the margarita that you can enjoy tequila with. So that's going to be fun, and I look forward to sending you some fun ideas around that. I think the starter is you want to have easy beverages to make, and especially with tequila. Of course, it's Cinco de Mayo, so tequila and the Mexican pair food are the stars of the show, so to speak. And a lot of times, and again, when I do a party or especially around Cinco de Mayo, I like to be self-serve. So your guests, again, you can have fun. I put out, you know, build a tacos bar and all the toppings and everything with it. Set it all out and let your guests build it like they want it. Or if they, actually, another easy thing to do is set out a fajita bar. You can have chicken, beef slices all ready to go. And then all the appropriate toppings from different cheeses to chopped salad to the different hot sauces. And so I arrange that all out on a table. And then my guests actually serve themselves, build it like they like it. And guess what? You don't have to do any of the work. You just have it set out and ready to go. And then, of course, for the cocktail, I go back to an easy method. I love margaritas, so sometimes we'll make a batch of what I call easy margaritas, but I go back to the Paloma, which is a lot of folks that haven't been to Mexico, but most of your listeners probably have. But again, Paloma is the number one way that tequila is consumed in Mexico, and that's simply tequila, usually, and look for 100% blue agave. You want a quality like we do with El Jimador, which is the number one reposado tequila in Mexico, and just mix that with about 4 ounces of grapefruit soda if you want to lighten it up. I offer Fresca, sugar-free lemon lime or grapefruit soda, and that's easy. It's a fun cocktail. It's light, refreshing, and it's certainly food friendly.
You know, that would be perfect here in the Southwest, because as we get into May and then later on, it just becomes so incredibly hot here. Having something like that sort of a spirit-driven drink, but with some bubbly and some effervescence and some lightness to it, would just be a great idea.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's super. And really, that's all it is. The ratio is about an ounce and a half of the tequila and then about 4 ounces of your grapefruit soda. No salt rim, but sometimes just a little pinch of salt goes right into the cocktail and then a squeeze of lime, and you're there. That simple. And I make it by the pitcher and have it available for all my guests. So it's easy on them, easy on me, really, it's one of those easy cocktails to make. And people go, wow, that is refreshing. I didn't know tequila could be that refreshing. I go, absolutely. And certainly there's a lot of great tequila drinks beyond just the margarita.
And I was going to ask you, you have another suggestion in terms of something for the Cinco de Mayo or celebration that people can do with tequila in terms of a cocktail?
Yeah, absolutely. Tequila, cranberry juice, and a little bit of agave nectar sweetener if you want, or actually if you want to use a little sweet and sour is great. You can actually make flavored. I mean, here's what I like to do is make a base margarita mix in a pitcher, and then I put out different flavors like a little strawberry of puree, peach nectar, some other things. That way your guests can actually build their margaritas like they like it as well, and that's fun.
You know, sounds like that this is a kind of a common theme we're talking about here, where, you know, you put out kind of the staples and the accessories, so to speak, and then basically say to your guests, build your drink from the base or build your food from the base.
I like that technique, Tim. I love it. Frees you up, it sounds like, during the party, so you can also enjoy yourself and not be chained to the kitchen.
Exactly. That's the key to it. And then what I like, too, is, you know, they build it all different ways and mix and match and do some different things. And so it's fun for the guests to, like, experiment themselves, too, in different things. We always talk about, again, I know margarita is such a – I think it's still the number one ordered cocktail in restaurants across the country. But I tell people, you know what, the best margarita, and this is an easy recipe to remember – The best margarita is this. Just remember, 2-1-1. And the 2-1-1 is this. 2 ounces of a nice 100% blue agave tequila, like the Herradura you were talking about with Ruben, and 1 ounce of freshly squeezed lime juice. People are still using that thing out of that plastic lime container.
I got you.
Or out of the bottle that's already sweetened lime. I don't have to give you the name, but don't use those. Freshly squeezed lime juice. It's easy to do. You can do those ahead of time. So 1 ounce of that, and then 1 ounce of agave nectar syrup. And I know people are really discovering that now. It used to be just in health food stores, but really agave nectar is now almost everywhere. And I think probably Fleming's has some, but it's great. So just 2-1-1. 1 ounce of the agave nectar syrup, 2 ounces of your tequila, and 1 ounce of fresh lime juice.
Hey, Tim, we have a little over a minute to go, so let's just focus briefly on that next holiday that you mentioned briefly, the Kentucky Derby. Talk to us about the mint julep.
Yep, here it is. The first Saturday of May, of course, every year is the Kentucky Derby, and people are really getting into the mint juleps. You got to have one if you're going to have a derby party. It's kind of funny. The julep started out as for medicinal purposes. It was actually what they called a morning bracer. Back in the horse farms around Virginia, which Kentucky was part of that territory at that time, working on a horse farm was very laborious. And you'd wake up in the morning, your muscles would be aching, and they didn't have Tylenol or Advil. So what they had was a lot of whiskey. It was bad whiskey at the time.
Certainly.
It was just, in the backyard. They had sugar and they had a lot of mint. They throw it together, mix it up. You drink two of those in the morning, your muscles loosen up. Like I said, they call it a morning bracer. Then they go out and do a hard day's work and then end the same way. So it was very medicinal. But now it's refined to a great cocktail.
Okay, Tim, we've got about 45 seconds. Tell me how you like to put together your mint julep.
Here is the perfect mint julep. First of all, you want to make a mint simple syrup, which is just one part water, one part sugar. Put it over on a saucepan. Bring it to a boil, stirring to dissolve all the sugar. Take that off the heat. Put in one part of mint leaves, stems and all. Stir it around. Let it steep like you would a tea for 20 minutes. Cool that off. You now have a mint simple syrup. So with that, in a tall glass, crushed ice, 2 ounces of bourbon. Woodford Reserve is the official bourbon of Churchill Downs, so 2 ounces of Woodford Reserve, and then 1 ounce of your mint simple syrup. Stir that up. Put a long straw in it and a big garnish of mint, because when that drink comes up to your nose, you smell the mint, and you get a sip that wonderful bourbon and mint simple syrup cocktail.
Oh, Tim, it just sounds absolutely delicious. So we're speaking with Tim Laird from Brown-Forman, their chief entertainment officer. He has a book out, That's Entertaining. You can pick it up off of Amazon. And again, look for Tim's articles both on the Wine Enquirer as we go through the year, variety of great recipes, great articles. We'll have all this information and a lot more as we go through the seasons. Tim, thanks so much for spending the time with us. I look forward to filming with you down outside of Guadalajara, Mexico. We should have a great time.
Absolutely. Thank you both Jim and Rex for having me on, and it was fun talking some of my favorite subjects.
we'll talk soon. Thanks, Tim.
Cheers.
You take care.
Bye now.
Okay. We're on our way to a break. We'll see you in a couple of minutes. Jim Cedar, KNST, sitting in for Matt Russell.
Do you realize how many fantastic restaurants are in Tucson? He's your cheat sheet. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
This is Jim Cedar back at KNST 790, sitting in for Matt Russell. Beautiful day here in Tucson with co-host Rick Paz. Rick, Fleming's has a really fun, fantastic upcoming wine pairing dinner from Chimney Rock. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? And then when you're finished there, we will go to our trivia question of the day.
Absolutely, Jim. Thank you so much. You know, part of what Fleming's is all about locally and nationally is embracing wine and food together and bringing it to the people. And that's what we're about to do on Tuesday, April 23rd at 6:30 p.m. We couldn't be more excited. We're working with Chimney Rock Winery. We've got four beautiful courses prepared for you. We've got a dried apricot and herb goat cheese canapés with shrimp skewers and a fennel and orange slaw. That's going to be going with the Chimney Rock Fumé Blanc. The first course after that is going to be a butter lettuce salad with sliced Danjou pear, lemon balsamic vinaigrette, gorgonzola, and bacon bit crostini. That will be going with the Élevage Blanc. Second course is a beautiful braised short rib with a parsnip puree, caramelized pearl onions, and a natural jus. And Chimney Rock Élevage Rouge will be the pairing. And the main course, the piece de la résistance, is going to be a bacon-wrapped filet mignon topped with Danish blue cheese, served with sautéed arugula and spinach, and that is with Chimney Rock Cabernet Sauvignon.
You've clearly done this before.
I just really like food and wine, Jim. I think we've established that today. We're both people who need to go get some dinner soon at Fleming's.
And eventually, did you mention the cost of the event per guest?
The cost of the event is $95 per guest, and that includes four wine pairings and a fresh berry and assorted truffle platter for dessert. So you get four paired courses as well as a solo course at the end there of dessert to wrap it all up for you.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. You know, I've been to a couple of these of your wine pairing dinners, and you know, the restaurant staff, everybody just chimes in to do a fantastic job with these. They're so well organized. While we're not going to tell people where Chimney Rock is, you know, perhaps we can give them at least a little lead into your trivia question.
Well, you know, we love to give things away, so I believe today we're going to be giving away a $100 gift certificate to the first person that can call in and let us know where is Chimney Rock Winery located.
Okay, folks, you heard that. We need a telephone number, the call-in number. So let me get that for you.
That's 880-5678.
It's just so nice to have somebody save my you-know-what when I need some help.
So welcome.
Thank you so much.
880-5678.
Okay, people, call in a $100 gift certificate. And if nobody wins this, I'm going to raise my hand because I know where it is.
Absolutely.
So come on, people. Let's hear from you. I haven't had any Chimney Rock wines in the past. Can you volunteer anything that you know about the wines, the estate?
The wines, the estate, I tell you what, they've been doing an amazing job where they are for quite some time now. They're doing Fumé Blanc, they've got Sauvignon Blanc, they've got a lot of cabs, a lot of big, heavy blends, too. They are very, very good with utilizing oak and malolactic fermentation and also steel aging to do what they want, manipulate things. They're a very experienced winery. They do a phenomenal job.
Domestic or international?
They are domestic.
Oh, how nice. So you're feeding the domestic economy.
Absolutely.
I'm sure Ben Bernanke at the Feds would be just really happy with what you're doing to help us out here.
Hey, we're the people here.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Gentlemen, you have a caller.
Gentlemen, is she referring to us?
I
guess she is.
Loose turn.
Do we have a name of our caller?
Yes, Jan is on line one.
Hi, Jan.
Hi, Jan. How are you? Welcome to the comedy team of Jim and Rick.
How you doing?
Good. We're doing well. How about yourself?
Okay.
You have an answer for us as to the location of Chimney Rock?
Red Rock.
Oh, no.
No.
But that was a great guess.
No, but you know what? But that's a great connection. I understand where you came from.
There's a lot of rocks in both places.
On that one, and Arizona does produce some great wines, but no, it is not in Arizona. So we're just going to keep on rolling here, see if somebody else can come up with a possibility here for a $100 gift certificate to one of the top restaurants in Tucson.
We have Justin on line two.
Oh, Justin, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing really good. How about you?
We're doing fine, thanks. Do you have an answer for the location of Chimney Rock?
Well, I believe it's in Napa, California.
You would be correct, sir.
Yeah. Ding, 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 Napa ding, Valley is where ding, all ding, the good wines come from, right?
Absolutely, really? Absolutely. Stag's Leap District inside of Napa Valley. You are correct, sir.
And I'm curious, did you already know where it came from, or were there hints that Rick gave you that led you down that cherry path?
No, I've actually had the wine before at my cousin's wedding, and so I knew where it was.
How
fantastic. They live in Half Moon Bay, but their wedding was actually up in the wine country. So,
oh, how beautiful! What a great wine to serve at your wedding.
Definitely.
I'm envious of you, my friend.
That's just superb. Hey, listen, congratulations! How wonderful! And we'll be sending that along to you. We'll get your name, your address, all the information written down, and then I'll throw it away and take the. No, I'm only kidding.
He is going to try to do that, Justin. Just so you know.
Very lucky. I'm surprised nobody else called in.
Well, actually, somebody else did call in, but you've got it and enjoy it. I'm jealous of you because dining at Fleming's is just a tremendous experience.
Thank you very much. It is.
We'll have our assistant here get the info from you, and then we'll be on. So, all right, Rick.
I love it.
You got it.
I love it. You know, one more thing I'd love to talk about while I'm still here is one of the things we love to build upon is our cocktail culture in our bar. And, you know, talking to Tim, that just reinvigorates me thinking about all the beautiful couture cocktails and classics that we have. Every day from 5 to 7, we're doing a phenomenal happy hour in our bar. We have $6 cocktails, $3 beer, $6 glasses of wine, appetizers, a prime beef burger. It is off the hook every day, and we're so excited to have you come visit us whenever you can.
And you know something? The setup that you have there is just so inviting and conducive for, you know, informality, but in a great energetic environment and an elegant, it's the perfect blend there with the small tables that you have, a lot of energy going on, just a great setting for you.
Yeah, you know, we've got the best team in Tucson. We've got the best staff. We've got the best chefs. We are blessed. We are happier than we could ever be. And that amazing team comes together and creates memorable experiences every evening in the dining room and the bar. And we're so excited to have any of you there, Jim. And I'm so glad we've been able to forge a friendship through all of that. And thanks for having me on the show. It's been
you
a blast.
Bet. You bet. Hey, listen, everybody, have a great rest of the weekend for yourself. Thanks to Rick Paz for joining us, and thanks to our guest today. Congratulations to the winner of the $100 gift certificate. This is Jim Cedar, KNST, 790 AM, sitting in for Matt Russell. He'll be back in this big chair again next week. Have a great week, everybody.